and good evening, Remnant. And thank you for joining us here at on 7x70. This is Range Wrangler Richard. We are coming to you live this Thursday night, July 7th, 2016. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day of life you've given us, Lord. One more day that you've given us to breathe your air, Lord, to praise you, to glorify you, Lord, in our every thought, word, action, and deed, to serve you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given us that. And Lord, we know that we only have it because you are faithful, because you, in your infinite wisdom and mercy, Lord, gave us your only begotten Son to bring us back into a relationship with you, to give us the opportunity, the way, to fulfill your law, to fulfill your word. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that, oh Lord, that you sent your Son. And we thank you, Jesus, that you went to that cross willingly to save a wretch like me while I was yet a sinner, and to save your people. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Lord, when we look around, we see that our people have forgotten. Our people have forgotten what you did for your people. Lord, they have forgotten about you. They haven't been taught. Lord, they've forgotten who they are. Lord, they've forgotten that they are the children of promise. And that this word, Lord, your Bible, that it applies to them. They've forgotten, Lord. Well, Lord, we thank you that you are patient and you are long-suffering. And Father, we continue to try to awaken your people, Lord, and we know that more of the remnant awaken every day, and we thank you for that. Strengthen us as we do that, Lord, as we unashamedly preach the gospel and put it out, Lord, all day long and all night long. Lord, we shout it from the rooftops. Help awaken your people, Lord. Help them to remember. Help us to remind them, to show them of who you are, who your Son, Jesus Christ, is, and that he is returning. And Lord, who your people are, that they would see this, that they would see that this Bible is more than just something that the granny read. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for our pastor. Lord, that labored, that strived, that worked, that was about your business, Father, about the Father's business, the 30 plus years that he preached the gospel. And Lord, I thank you for the ministry that he built in your name and with your help and on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we continue. We ask you, Lord, we say, here we are. We are your servants, Lord. What would you have us to do? Show us how to build. Show us where to build and what to build, Lord, as we continue to build upon that foundation that is Jesus Christ, the rock. Lord, be with me tonight as we remember. Be with your remnant, Lord, in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, folks, it was 5 years ago today that the Lord called our dear pastor home. We thank the Heavenly Father for the preacher and the teacher that we had, and for his leading of the Holy Spirit, because he was led by the Holy Spirit before he became a preacher even. How much more after? We're thankful for our pastor's conviction for truth. And you know that That is one thing that our pastor said many times from the pulpit, is he said, you know, I don't have all truth, but by God, what truth I have, I'm going to give you. And he lived up to that. And if he was given a truth, he shared it. He held nothing back. If it cost him church membership, if it cost him contributions, if it cost him his job, he didn't hold anything back. And you know, we're thankful that he was a patient man. He was. Now, many might argue that fact, but you know, he was. He was patient. because he had God the Father as an example. And our Heavenly Father is patient, not as the world counts slowness. No, God's not slow, but he is patient. The Bible says, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Repentance. And you know, we here are doing as he instructed us to continue to build upon the foundation of Scriptures for America ministry, of the from the website to the internet broadcasting to the prison outreach, Sunday church broadcast like this. Those were our pastor's wishes, that we would continue to build upon the foundations that he had laid, with blood, sweat, and tears, with joy, with sacrifice. And that's what we do. And I thought we'd talk a little bit tonight. It has been 5 years today. I thought we'd talk just a little bit about that tonight. And I wanted to share with you, and I'll have the phone lines open here in a few minutes, but I wanted to share with you what Pastor Peters taught me. Just a few things. I'd need more than the 40 minutes I've got left in tonight's broadcast, and I can't even remember all the things that Pastor taught me. But I have a few highlights. And, you know, if you want to call in and share something like that, then you sure can. You know, it was unexpected 5 years ago. The pastor had some health issues, and but you know the old saying, when it rains, it pours. And the first part of July 5 years ago, the Ramrod's father passed away, and he had to run out a quick driving trip out to Chicago to take care of that, to take care of those affairs, to bury his father. And he was on his way back here, and I got word that my elderly mother down in Florida had passed away. Just a couple days ago, early in July, 5 years ago. And so, we had to go and bury my mother and preach her funeral. And my whole family had the opportunity to stop by the Ramrod's house where Pastor was staying. And we all had the opportunity to shake his hand. And to hug his neck. And to tell him that we loved him. And then we had to go. And then I got a call a day later. Brother John, tell me that our pastor had finished his race, that his work was done. It's a tough time. I'm certainly not ashamed to admit that. And I know it was a tough time for many. And you know, that is, our pastor taught us, and he taught me, he taught all of us. He put a booklet out called Rejoice Always. And he told us that that is what we are to do. And he gave us an example. He gave us several examples. And we have this booklet. Be glad to send it to you. It's called Rejoice Always. Because the Bible told him to rejoice always. Even when your wife dies. Even when your son dies. And I don't say those things flippantly and without sincerity. But our pastor was an example that he showed us that even when these hardships come upon us in life, and they come. Oh, I can see the pastor standing at the pulpit saying, and you know, you have to have Jesus Christ and be established on that rock, because when the storms come, and oh, the storms come. See, he knew. He'd lived through the storms. He'd been battered by the wind and the rain and the gates of hell. But they hadn't prevailed. They hadn't beat him. They just made him stronger. They drove him closer to his God, closer to his Lord and Savior. and he was comforted by the God of all comfort, so that he could comfort us when we needed it. And this little booklet, Rejoice Always, is but one of the truths that he shared. But one. You know, I went to a memorial service today in Laramie. A local ranching family lost their matriarch on July 4th. 90 years old. One of the, it homesteaded out in this area 72 years ago. Just across the valley. And on the very same day, this man who lost his mother also lost his 38-year-old son in a drowning. You know, I didn't get a chance to talk to Tom today, but this book, Rejoice Always, is going to him in the mail tomorrow. Because it is a comfort. And it's because our pastor paid the price, and he stayed faithful. Well, he was given those truths to share with us. Those truths that we need. Not only the truths about the Anglo-Israel message. That is a very important biblical scriptural truth. And when he discovered it, he shared it. And he continued to the very end. And we will continue to. That part of the foundation is as solid as every part of it. And that will not change. It is so important that we understand who we are. And you know, that's one of the things that the pastor taught me, was who I was in Christ. Redeemed and forgiven and all that. And that I was a child of the promise. I'd never heard that in the Judeo-Christian churches. I'd never heard that growing up in a Southern Baptist church. But our pastor sure taught me that. And he didn't only preach it, he taught it. He didn't only teach it, he believed it. And he lived it. He lived it. And that this booklet, Rejoice Always, if you haven't read that, if you haven't read it lately, I encourage you. We'll send it to you free. Just ask for it. Rejoice Always. You can order it on the website, scriptures4america.org. We are commanded to rejoice always. It's what the Bible tells us. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say but. It doesn't say when. We are to rejoice always. That is one thing that our pastor taught us. And so, you know, pastor shared it, and you've heard John share it from the pulpit, that, you know, a pastor came to say there in the last several years of his life, that he realized nothing bad had ever happened to him. And you know, that's another thing that our pastor taught me, is that there is no such thing as coincidence. Things don't just happen. Now, they might think, you know, the world talks about karma, and the world talks about this happening, and what goes around comes around. And now that saying in itself is not all false. But there is no such thing as coincidence. And our pastor realized that. And you know, when he could stand at the pulpit with what he had gone through in his life and say that he realized nothing bad had ever happened to him, that was an example for us. That was an example for us to believe Romans 8:28. Let's flip over there and look at that real quick. Okay? Romans 8:28. I'm right there in Acts because that's where our Bible reading plan is for today. But Romans 8:28. We'll start in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. In verse 28, and we know. See, we don't have to believe it. We don't have to think it. We don't have to see it with our eyes that'll lie to us. We don't have to believe it in our heart that'll deceive us. But we know. It is a fact. There is no changing it. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. To those who love God. Now, there's a little more to it than just thinking, than just saying, I love God. See, our pastor taught us that. Let's let the Bible define that. God says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say. If you love me, obey me. Do what I tell you to do. Then we know that God will work all things together for good. Sometimes when He's working those things, we don't always see it. But you know, I'll tell you, my friend Tom that stood up and thanked the 200 plus people that came to remember his mom and to be there for comfort for the family. He said, you know, the day I lost my mom, I lost my middle son. And he said he didn't understand it. But he knew God had a plan. And he knew God would work it out for good. What a testimony. What a testimony. It was encouraging to me today. And it reminded me on this fifth year date since our pastor finished his race. It reminded me of our pastor teaching all of us about Romans 8:28. And you know, we should remember that. That's one of the many things that we should. You know, Pastor Peter's taught me to believe the Word of God, to believe the Bible, that it is the Word of God. You know, the Bible tells us that love believes all. And see, in love we can believe the Bible. We can believe it. We can say to the naysayers that, yeah, even after thousands of years, we still have the Word of God. I think we still have it. I know we still have it in the King James, in the Geneva, in the Septuagint, in the New American Standard, in the Amplified, in the Holman translation. We still have the Word of God. But that doesn't mean every translation out there is still right. No, it doesn't. But we know that we do still have the Word of God. And we are to believe it. And when we read through it, and we see things that maybe we didn't see before, or that we come to an understanding of what it, you know, when I was just first married and started reading this, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. Well, when I finally came around and wanted to read it, I'd been a husband for a few years. I was a new father, had another baby on the way. Well, you know, I was in a different place in my life. Well, now when I read it, and I had been given a few keys of who some of these key players in the Bible were, what some of these verses meant, who it related to. Well, then when I read it and had a desire to read it, well, it sure meant same words, but they meant so much more. And our pastor taught us that. He taught me that, you know, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are reading and having a living word before us. And it grows, our understanding of it grows. You know, a pastor taught me to trust God. He taught me to believe Psalms 91. Let's flip back over there. We won't read the whole thing tonight, but I encourage you. You know, we should have it memorized. We should have it written. It's still on a poster in the pastor's office. Psalms 91. He taught us that, to trust God, to trust Him. He taught us to trust Him that it says, verse 3, for it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. Well, you know, there's sometimes we're afraid. Maybe not. It might not be at night, but it might be a letter from a three-letter agency. It might be a knock on the door from Child Services. It might be a pulling over by the blue lights. It might be a child that is sick. It might be a wife that seems to be falling away. It might be parents or friends that don't want anything to do with this. There's times we get afraid, that we fear. But our pastor taught us, you go back to the Word. See what the Word says about that. That's what he taught me. He taught me to trust God. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you, Richard. I believe that. I know that. Because our pastor taught us that. He taught me that. And so, you know, when I find myself maybe fearing a little bit, do you know what they have? Do you know what they're going to do? Do you know what Hillary's going to do if she gets elected? You know, there's more gun control, and you know they can see you and these satellites, and you know, wait a minute. I got to go back to the Word. My pastor taught me that. I start getting these funny feelings like, oh man, what are they going to do now? It shall not approach you. We have to remember that. We have to go back to that foundation, back to that solid rock, to the solid teachings that He gave us. He taught me to trust God. You know, our pastor taught me to be a man of God, to take my thoughts captive, to read my Bible daily. He taught me of the responsibility that I have as a Christian husband and father, the responsibility I have over my family and for my family, that I am responsible for them before God Almighty, and that I do have to pray over them. I do have to guard them, that I do have to watch what they do, to watch who their friends are, to watch where they go. Now, am I perfect in that? No. None of us are. But we try. And we try to do better tomorrow than we did today. And we pray. We pray. We pray for one another as we pray on that full armor of God that we find in Ephesians. You know, remember that. Remember that it's not just that armor. It's not just that armor. That once we get that armor on, well, then what? Then what? And if you look at Ephesians 6, you know, verse 10 starts off finally. So you got to read all the other stuff to get the other stuff down first. After we've done all that, then verse 10 through 17 is praying on that armor. And then verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pastor taught us to pray, to be on the alert, it says, with all perseverance and petition. It's like being on the lookout, being up on the bridge of the destroyer with the binoculars, and you're on the lookout looking for the enemy coming to destroy you. But you know, you're also looking out, you're persevering for the saints. We're petitioning, we're to pray for one another. That's part of that second greatest commandment of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Our pastor taught us to pray. And you know, he taught us to pray in a way that many times it seems a bit strange outside of the Judeo-Christian mamby-pamby, love the world, so-called play church world. He taught us to pray with authority. He taught us to pray as the children of God, the heirs of the promise that we are. That we are, because we are of that dispersion that James talks of. We are washed in the blood. We are ambassadors of Christ, clothed in Christ. We have the royal robes of the King about us. And so when we approach His throne, Well, he expects us to act as ambassadors of Christ. When we pray and petition as we're commanded to do, as soldiers of Christ, not as slaves, but as friends, as heirs, as those adopted in, well, we can come boldly before the throne of God. I don't know about you, but I'd never heard that before I met the pastor. I'd never knew that. It had always been, oh Lord, thank you for this, and Lord, if it's thy will, Lord, oh please in your grace, look upon us. And you know, there's times that we are to approach our Heavenly Father in sackcloth and ashes, so to speak, in humility, on our face, in begging forgiveness, in asking, in repenting. There's times for that. But you know, there's also times to pray, as we read in Psalms 91, you know, with the might and the power and authority of Jesus Christ in the verbiage that King David used. Our pastor taught us that there's a time that we can say, oh God, we come before you as your people, your ambassadors, and Lord, we've done all we can do. Stop them, Lord, before they wipe us out. And we've done that. And we've seen the hand of God move. Our pastor saw the hand of God move in answer to prayer. We'll open up the phone lines tonight. 307-745-5913 if you want to give a call in tonight. We're talking about what Pastor Peter's taught us. What he taught me. 307-745-5913. And I know I'm echoing the sentiments of many out there, because he's taught us all. He's taught us all. I've got a long way to go, but you ought to see where I started from. I've come a long way. You know, our pastor taught us. I was in the audience when he preached the sermon, I Am Nothing. And you know, our pastor had a way of just breaking down barriers that had been in place before and getting to us, getting to the individual. You know, because he would be as when you read in Acts when when Peter goes to Cornelius, and that's Acts 10:25. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am just a man." You know, our pastor taught us that. He taught us that, but he taught us to be a man. But that we all have a different calling, and his calling was to preach the word, like it or not. He had that prophet's disposition. But he knew that apart from Christ, he was nothing. And you know, that's certainly how we are. And it would sure do us good to realize that apart from Christ, we are nothing. The Bible says we're only dust. But through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, I can do all things. I can do all things. We can do all things. We can comfort with the Word of God those that need comfort. We can witness. We can proclaim the Word of God in areas that maybe we never thought we could. We can carry on a ministry. We can do our best not to fill the pair of boots, because they're unfillable, but we can carry on. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have to remember that. That is what our pastor would want us to do. That is what he would expect of us to do. He would expect no less than for us to carry on, than for us to continue, than for us to grow. And so hopefully you're growing, Because I can tell you, we're growing here. I'm growing. John's growing. Jason's growing. And we know that many out there in the remnant are. And we are to do that. That is what would be pleasing to our pastor, that we would be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, phone lines are still open. Thought we'd have some calls tonight. 307-745-5913. We have, the catalog we have, the resource catalog. Geez, it's up to, we need to get a new one updated. This one's still 2015, and it's 90-plus pages, I think. But we've only added a couple books since then. But, there's an entire page of just the pamphlets, page and a half, actually, of the pamphlets that our pastor put out. And he continues to teach by way of these pamphlets. We have, I think of three that I've talked to just in the last 2 days, three new people that have come into the ministry in the last couple years, the last 2 to 3 years, that, are learning, that are ordering CDs, ordering these pamphlets, and, some of us that have been around for a while, well, maybe we've read the little none ever call it conspiracy pamphlet, and we've heard the tape, and maybe we've watched it on a DVD church, but there's many that are coming in that this is still brand new to. And praise the Lord, because we are carrying on, because we are continuing on. Those people also are learning the truth of who they are. And of who God is. And of who Jesus Christ is. Well, there's a phone line ringing. Let's go to it. Hey, good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Richard, this is Doug from Michigan.
Hey, good evening, Doug.
It's hard to believe it's already been 5 years.
It is. Time sure flies, as they say. And I found as I get a little bit older, it seems to fly by much faster.
Yeah, same here, brother.
So, I'm talking tonight about what Pastor taught me. What do you have anything that comes to mind of maybe what Pastor taught you? What you learned from a pastor?
A lot of things, but I think probably the most important was reading the Bible is applicable just to a people, his people. And not to the whole world. And, who true Israel is.
Yeah. That book about war, what is it, Sun Tzu or something, The Art of War?
Mm-hmm.
I have that book, and I've tried to look through it several times. And, it doesn't really apply. Now, I know there's a lot of principles in there that probably could apply for spiritual warfare and different things like that. But, it wasn't written to me. It doesn't resonate with me.
I've heard Pastor mention it before. I've never read it personally.
Yeah, and I've looked through it, and, it's got, bits and pieces, but it's just not, it doesn't resonate. This word, like you're saying, this Bible resonates with me,
Yes.
I can read it now because, thank God, there was a man who God used to get through to me. Why me? I don't know. I don't know. Why me? Because, if I could figure that out, I'd have it figured out, but I sure don't, But our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit used Pastor Pete Peters to get through, to get the gospel message through to me. And I'm very thankful for that.
Same here. I met the pastor for the first time in Branson 2011, and he was pretty tired. It was late, almost midnight, but he still had just the glow in his eye of the Holy Spirit. And, I only talked to him, not even a minute, just shook his hand. But, after listening to him and still to this day, the pastor never knew me, but I know he loved me because he told me the truth. And I love him for that. And I miss the weekly broadcast, listening to them live, and just thank the Lord that you guys are still around and play his old recordings, and I want to thank you and Jason and John and Chris and everybody else that contributes to the ministry. Just say thank you, brothers.
All right. Well, thank you, Doug. Thanks for being faithful, and thanks for calling in tonight and sharing that.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless you. Have a good evening.
You too. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hey, Richard. This is Guy.
Hey, good evening, Guy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just called you. I heard you on the phone, and I thought you might be on there. I couldn't say more better than what that man had just said, that thank you for everything you do. And, you know, it's a struggle, and we got to stay in it. And bless the Holy Spirit every day, don't you agree?
Amen. Amen. You know, that was like I said, I mean, I had a list of 20 things that I had put down today of the things I'd learned from the pastor. But, you know, that's something else he taught us, was that it is the Bible calls it a fight of faith. And it also calls it a daily fight of faith. And you're right, Guy, it is. It's hard. And every day we have to get up and we have to make a conscious decision to serve the Lord. You know, and we have to say, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to be on the alert for the saints. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to bless you, Holy Spirit, in every my thoughts, words, action, and deed. And get out there. And
you know, I tell you, Richard, I've come to I personally believe that a person owes it to themselves is to be almost frightened of the idea of not saying a prayer every day. I don't like it to even really go around people until I've done said my prayers, put on the armor, and I add in my prayer now. I just keep adding to it. A gate over the teeth, a door over the tongue, and a guard over the mouth. You know?
Amen.
I know I've said things and just popped out of my mouth, and it's like, good Lord. And then I have to really, really resettle and say, okay, God, you're in charge. This must be what you wanted me to say or whatever. And, you know, it's all part of a big education in my mind. Just like Jesus said, you know, persevere. Man, I have really got that one on. I pray that now, you know. Bless my great perseverance. And bless my great and holy confidence. And Lord, bless my great faith. And bless my great belief. You know, God bless my great hope. I accentuate each one of those that way, because as these days come on by, God, I get challenges put before me, you know, and I learn all the time, man. I'm like growing up still. I'm 60 years old, and I'm still learning.
Yep, that's the way we are to be.
Different things.
Well, that's the way we are to be. Yeah. Our pastor was the same way. He was learning. He would, you know, he would have new things presented to him. He'd see new things in the Bible and right up till the end. That's the way we are. We are to be learning. We are to be growing in His grace and knowledge, and acknowledging and praising Him for it.
You know, I bet each one of us have experienced something that was like a secret antagonist towards our peace and our joy with God. I have. I've had my own little hang-ups and stuff. Just here lately, I realized that if it's not up to this other person, it's up to me to speak up on my behalf. Because if they're going, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like, I'm just learning about this stuff, you know. It's like, you know, from now on, this is the way it's got to be. And what am I afraid of? I've learned, I've spent my whole life being afraid of this and afraid of that. And wasn't none of it worth being afraid of. But, you know, God straightens it all out.
Amen.
And I like being unafraid, knowing that I'm justified and made righteous, you know.
Amen. Amen.
That's a big deal to me. I know who I am. I know what I'm not. And that's by the grace of God, you know.
Yes. And, Guy, isn't that a comfort? Doesn't that comfort you? Doesn't that comfort you in knowing that?
Yeah, it does. And it's a, like you said, though, it's a continuous thing.
It is.
For one breath, I'm in complete euphoria and joy with God. Man, what a wonderful moment. But you know what I've learned? That moment is realized because the moments before, I was in agony or sorrow or grieving or whatever. But I learned this too shall pass.
Yes.
And I've accumulated, and more I keep trying to accumulate, is the time of joy. You know, that's the good times. And then there's bad times, you know, where just feared out in confusion. It's a tempting to enter in, but I know the helmet of hope and salvation will stop that. It does. I take my thoughts captive.
Yes.
You know, what am I freaking out about?
That's
nothing.
Right. Remember the word and
worry about.
Remember the word and believe the word. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, so good to hear from you. Glad you're doing well, and thanks for tuning in, and thanks for calling and sharing those thoughts with the remnant.
Yeah, well, it sure is good. I'm glad you guys are doing what you're doing, and I'm going to get me a radio soon, and I won't have to be bootlegging these phones to get to hearing you.
All right.
You guys take care of yourselves. It's an exciting time to be alive.
It is. It is.
And our enemy should be afraid, because our God is real, and so are his people.
Yes. Yes. Amen. All right, Guy. Have a great evening.
God bless you, Richard.
Thank you.
God bless the Wranglers.
All right.
Bye.
God bless you. Thank you. 307-745-5913. You know, here in 1 Corinthians, I'm reminded, I flipped over there in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Who or where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And in verse 26, it says, For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, nor many, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that is who we boast in. We preach Christ crucified and risen from the grave. Christ who overcame death. Why he called us? Because we fit that criteria of being weak and foolish, I guess. Our pastor, well, he said that many times. And we are, without him, without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we remain weak and foolish. But through him, as we said earlier, we can do all things. And we do have all power and authority. He's given it to us. Our pastor taught us that. You know, the books that our pastor wrote, The Greatest Love Story Never Told, he taught us in that our God loves us. The love that we have for our wives, our children, that comes from God. It's because we're made in the image of God. And that God loves us, his people, as a husband loves his wife. And you know, just that in itself, then when you read through the Bible and you see that this is a loving God who loves his bride so much that he'd give his own life for, and he did. Well, you know, that puts a whole new perspective. Our pastor wrote the book, America the Conquered. And so when you realize, you can read that, and in it he teaches us that as a nation, as though this once Christian nation of America, which means heavenly kingdom in the Gothic language, that it has been conquered. It has been conquered by the Antichrists, by those that hate Christ. Our pastor wrote the book Baal Worship. When you read through that, you realize and you see that there are many Baals out there. There are many false gods. There are many antichrists out there that make themselves out to be Christ. There is a religion out there that makes it out to be Christianity. But let me tell you something, folks. Judeo-Christianity is not Christianity. Christianity is Christianity. And Judeo-Christianity is not. Nothing comes before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing. No Judeo. Our pastor taught us that. Oh, that we would remember it. I think we've got time for another caller. Hey, good evening. Welcome to 7 times 70.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, good evening, Bill.
The reason I didn't call is I thought, well, where do I start? And I think so many of these things, I'm just realizing as you're talking, so many of these things I've internalized and have become a part of me. I mean, and thank you for working like dogs to keep that thing up, because I mean I've listened before he died and after he died. I've listened to so many of the pastor's messages over and over and over. And you mentioned that fight of faith. I'm just getting through a couple of those, part one and two, right now.
Amen.
That you play, and it's good. I just wanted to mention one thing. Last night we prayed for Peggy, and you prayed that when she went in, the doctor would not have to break the bone that they thought would have to be broken, and because it had healed wrong. Well, it probably hasn't healed wrong. And when the swelling goes down, he put her in a sling. She's been moving it too much, and she's going back in another 5 or 6 days. And he doesn't think they're going to have to do that surgery.
Thank you, Lord. Our God
Thank
is
you.
Good. You know that, William? Our God
oh, yeah.
is good. And He loves His people. And He just
yeah.
wants His people to return to Him. You know, like a husband who loves his wife and says, honey, I love you. Just come back to me. Just come back to me. I love you. I'll give you everything. Everything. And boy, when His people do, when they return to Him, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then He comes, He hears, and He heals. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for calling in with that, Bill.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You do remember your people, Lord. You who are faithful when we lose our faith, Lord. When we are unfaithful, you are faithful, always. Well, folks, I do ask you, do as Ephesians 6 says. Pray for us here. We pray for you. We do. We pray for the remnant. Those that support us and those that don't. Those that are God's. Those that love Him. Those that don't even know Him yet, but that are part of that dispersion. We pray for you every day. We do. We pray that you're blessed. We pray that you walk in health. As our pastor taught us to do that. And he did that. Well, we do continue on here, and our plans, the good Lord willing, are to continue to build upon this foundation, that solid rock of Jesus Christ. You know, exactly how and where, well, don't quite know yet. You know, as you've heard John say, we've been standing in the gap. But we are going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to grow as well. Because that's what our pastor wanted us to do. Those were the instructions he left. We're going to do our best to follow those. And we're able to do it because you follow those. Because you, the faithful remnant, continue to support this ministry. Because you continue to pray for this ministry. And we thank you for that. Well, that's all I've got tonight. We encourage you to tune in Friday night. I think Jason will be on with Gideon's Armory. And join us all Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good night.
It's like dying a slow, painful death. It can take the very life out of someone, right down to their last breath. Rhythm.